That's when I raise my hands unto the heavens, and I fix my eyes on God's begotten Son. And I thank God for all that He has given, and I thank God for all that He's forgave, for a lifetime of His love and reassurance, I will forever pray His name. Well, this old world can be so cold and lonely. It seems that true love cannot be found, but I know someone whose love is everlasting, and He proved His love when He died for one and all. And I thank God for all that He has given, and I thank God for all that He's forgave, for a lifetime of His love and reassurance, I will forever some days may find me sifting through the ashes, up past things some other man has done. But the man that stands before you, he's a new one. And through the blood of Christ, I know this work's been done. I thank God for all that He has given, and I thank God for all that He's forgave, for a lifetime of His love and reassurance, I will forever praise His name. I will forever praise His name. Forever praise His name. I will forever praise His name.
Thank you, Brother Eloy. Well, good morning once again to everyone. We're glad that you are here on this very first Sunday of the brand new year, 2017. Would you please stand with me as we read from the Scripture together this morning? Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and I'm going to begin to read in verse number 14 in just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And beginning to read in verse number 14. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. And he says, verse number 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, of your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please, as we continue in the attitude of worship this morning? Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will prepare the hearts and the ears of the hearers today, that they might be sensitive to not only to listen, but to do the things that the Word of God instructs us to do. Lord, help us today. Help this year of 2017 be the best year that Berean Baptist Church has ever had. And I pray, Lord, that you would, through this year, that we would reach the lost for you. We pray, dear God, that you would add those to this ministry who would help us to grow numerically and spiritually. Lord, that you would have your will and way in everything that's said and done. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would please. The title of my message this morning, and no, it's not a typo, the title is New Year's Revolutions. New Year's Revolutions. Now, you're all familiar, I know, about making New Year's resolutions. Possibly you've done that in the past. Many people are making and will make New Year's resolutions. That is, they will promise themselves that they will lose weight. Been there? I used to say I'm going to lose 10 pounds in January. And now, thanks to your generosity, I have to say I have to lose 20 pounds. Thank you very much. New Year's resolutions. Webster defines a resolution as a resolving or a determining or a deciding. And so once we've made the decision about what it is that we're going to do, the thing that it's determined upon, then it further describes it as a future action or a resolve. This sounds good, and it makes people feel better about themselves to make a promise concerning something they plan to do or something they plan to stop. Maybe it's not something that we want to do. Maybe it's a habit that we want to stop doing. However, the problem with resolutions is that they tend to be forgotten in just a few days or weeks. Many of you will go to Super Salad after the service today, or maybe Sweet Tomatoes. Sweet Tomatoes and those businesses will do a record business in January. And then you get into February and it'll start to wane, and we'll go back to the steakhouses and Black Angus and all those places. The reality is resolutions generally don't work. What we really need is a revolution, something revolutionary in our life that changes the very fabric of our being. Webster defines the word revolution as a complete or radical change of any kind. A revolution is extreme in nature. That is exactly what most Christians need to happen in their lives in 2017. We need to experience a radical change in the way we think, in the way we act. And what I'm saying is that we need to have a revolution in Berean Baptist Church, of its church members. Jesus, now, let me hasten on to say before we take this too far, I'm not saying that we should seek to dethrone Jesus from our hearts. That is not what I'm saying. The way that we need to think about this is we need to take self off of the throne and put Jesus in his rightful place. And so what I'm going to speak to you about, really this is going to be part one of about three messages that we will speak about over this next month. And so as we think about this morning, I want you to think about some radical changes that you can make in your life so that you can put Jesus in the rightful place where he needs to be. And so as we think about these things, I want us to be thinking about making some New Year's revolutions. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he tells them in no uncertain terms exactly how the Lord intends for every child of God to live his life. Notice with me some New Year's revolutions that we may need to make starting today. Part one, we need a revolution in our worship. We need a revolution in our worship. Now, I'm not talking, many times when you say the worship, some people have the notion that worship happens 10 minutes before the preaching, and then it's done. No, that is part of worship. And let me say that Berean Baptist does a good job in worshiping the Lord in our song, in our praise. We do an exemplary job, I believe that. But I'm talking about the whole of worship. I'm not talking about just the song service or the special music. I'm talking about our whole attitude that involves worship. And so as we think about this today, let's understand that many times our worship experience is less than it ought to be. Our worship service needs to include our devotional time. It needs to involve our prayer time. It needs to involve our daily walk. And so as we think about this morning, let's focus on changing the way that we worship. And Paul gives us some practical advice that will breathe new life into stale worship. The Lord doesn't like stale worship. He likes worship that is vibrant. He likes worship that is alive. So the first thing I want you to see, we will not go in order here this morning, but I want you to notice the first thing that we need to see when it comes to this idea of a revolution in our worship, we find in verse number 16. Notice what Paul wrote, "Rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. Rejoicing evermore literally means to have praise in our hearts for God at all times. That we ought to have a song of praise in our heart. I preached in the past a series of messages on Thanksgiving, on being thankful to the Lord for the things in our past, being thankful to the Lord for the things in our present, and then being thankful to the Lord for the things in our future. Do you understand this morning that we have a future? We enjoy a future by faith that is unparalleled in the world. We have so much to look forward to. One of these days, our home is going to be heaven. We have had, it seems like, a rash of folks in the relationships of our church during the month of December who've gone on to be with the Lord. It always brings grief to our hearts. But at the same time, there is a comfort in knowing where that loved one is if they've trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is that wonderful comfort that the Lord gives to us and that peace that comes in the time when we walk that difficult way. So there should be praise. There should be praise. And we need to have a radical revolution in our praise to the Lord God. We live in a day when People seem to be intimidated by praising the Lord. We have, we Baptists, and I'll pick on us because we are Baptists. We Baptists, we are so guilty many times of backing away from praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord like we ought to. We have allowed the charismatics to steal our joy and to rob our joy. Let me tell you something. We had it long before they ever got it. And we need to be rejoicing in the Lord. Every moment of the day, we need to be rejoicing about the things that Almighty God says that we should rejoice about. Go with me, if you would please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, just a moment, chapter number 50, and I'll just plug in at verse number 23. The psalmist is writing, this is a psalm of David, and he is writing and he is closing out the 50th chapter. Notice what he says here. He says, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me." What is he saying? That when we praise, when we worship, we are to be worshiping the Lord God. We are to be holding him in high esteem and high regard. Notice what he says. "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright." Who is that? That is the child of God. "Whosoever ordereth his conversation aright or properly, will I show the salvation of God." Now, that word salvation there doesn't, naturally we're going to go to our personal salvation, and certainly that would be a part of it. But that's not all that it entails. God pulls our feet out of the fire many times. Brother Paul was explaining to me almost a hit-and-run accident or a head-on accident this week. Well, who do you suppose took care of that? The Lord God took care of that. When God spares our life from something, when he heals us from a disease, when he cures an ailment that we have, a difficulty that we have, maybe he removes an obstacle that's in our ministry. He takes that away so that we might serve him better. This is all part of that salvation that is being spoken about there, not just a personal salvation of where you're going to spend eternity, but you see the deliverance, if I could use the word deliverance as a substitute to the word of salvation. How many of you are worriers? Let me see your hand. Now let me ask you a question. Has it ever helped? Does worry help? It doesn't. What should we be doing instead of worrying? We ought to be praying. But the reality is, most of the things that people worry about never come to pass. And so the reality is, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God? You ought to write those things down. Maybe get a daily calendar like we gave out to folks in the ministry and write down those answers to prayer. Write down those times in your life that when you expected the worst and it didn't happen. What is it? That is the salvation. That is the deliverance of Almighty God in your life. Of taking care of that detail, taking care of that problem, healing that loved one, healing that disease, whatever it might be. And so we need to understand today that the Lord wants our praise. He wants us to glorify him. So we always ought to have praise upon our lips, ready to praise the Lord. This happened, praise the Lord. That happened, praise the Lord. And you might say this morning, well, that's just not my style. That's just not how I am. Well, let me think about it. Let's just consider this for a moment. Have you ever changed your thinking or your attitude towards things as you grow older? Have you ever looked at something in a different way than you used to look at it when you were a teenager and you knew everything? Have you ever done that? I saw a sign. We were at a local merchant on Friday afternoon. We were family was getting together. Our son Jeff died on the 30th of 2015, and we were gathered together as a family. And I noticed something that was on the wall. And it said this. It says, teenagers, you know, you're always complaining about your parents. Why don't you move out, get a job, pay your own bills while you still know everything? I thought that was profound. I thought that was really good advice. If you can't be grateful for anything else, be grateful you're not a teenager anymore. Those were painful years. Okay, so maybe praising the Lord isn't your style. And please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about jumping the pews. I'm not talking about, you know, foaming at the mouth. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about those things. In fact, the reality today that this tongues movement is nothing, it comes nowhere close to what was used in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost. If you look at the scripture carefully, the miracle was not the speaking in tongues. The miracle was in the hearing. The miracle was in the hearing. Peter spoke in his language, and all those other groups of people that were there understood in theirs. That was the miracle that took place on that day. So I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about something phony. I'm not talking about look at me. I'm talking about that genuine article of being grateful to the Lord and having praise upon our lips. If you cannot think of any other reason to praise the Lord, go with me to Luke chapter number 10, and we'll look at verse number 20. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Can we trust the words of Jesus? Is he a worthy person to listen to? Is he a worthy authority? Notice what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Think about that for just a moment. The very moment that you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. It is there forever. Your name is written down. The moment that you confessed your sin, invited Jesus into your heart, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you not rejoice about that? Can you not praise the Lord for that? Can you not say, praise God, I am on my way to heaven? You can do to me what you want. You can do to this body what you want. It does not matter. I am on my way to heaven. I have a reserved place in heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we ought to be able to praise the Lord. We ought, when the scripture says that we are to rejoice evermore, it means that we are to walk about with that attitude of praise on our lips. But how do Christians live most of the time? Unfortunately, most of the time, people live under their circumstances. Let me challenge you today. Don't live under your circumstances. Get above your circumstances. Live for the Lord God. Praise Him no matter what happens in your life, no matter what comes about. There is something that you can praise Him for. There is something that you can be encouraged and encourage somebody else with. Is discouragement contagious? Is it not? I mean, a grumpy face, I mean, that's discouraging. But you know what else is also contagious? A smile. a smile. Loving the Lord, caring about the things of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And so we need to understand, we need to have a revolution in our life today. Let it start today, that in 2017, we are going to be a person who is going to be filled with praise for the Lord God and for the good things that He does for us. Number two, we see it in verse number 17. Look at it if you would please. Pray with what? Pray without ceasing. This is similar to what we've already looked at. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean that God expects us to walk around all the time mumbling to ourselves? And is that what God is saying? No, God is saying that we ought to be in such a state that at any given moment we can speak to the Lord. We can talk to Him. How many of you have a smartphone or a cell phone? Are you aware that there is a little button on there? It's a speaker button. Have you ever touched that? Think of it this way. God wants the line of communication with you and Him open all the time. And He wants that speakerphone on so that in a moment's notice, we can fall on our knees if we need to. We can come to Him and we can pray. You understand today that because of what Jesus did on the cross, you have access to Jesus Christ every moment of the day. Do you understand that the book of Hebrews encourages us to come boldly before the throne of grace and to bring our petitions before the Lord? So what is it then? It's an attitude of prayer. It's an attitude of that open line of communication. We had the privilege of being in Israel in the month of May, and we went to the Wailing Wall. And it's really something to watch those Jewish people as they pray and they will sometimes put their head against the Wailing Wall, and they will write messages on a piece of paper, and they'll stick it in the cracks of those great stones that are there at the Wailing Wall. And they're just in an attitude of prayer, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And our Jewish guide told us, we know we can pray anywhere, any place, anytime. You know how the Jews feel about it? They believe that when they're at the Wailing Wall, that's a direct line. It's a local call. That's how they feel about the Wailing Wall. Well, let me tell you something. America also has a Wailing Wall. It's called the IRS. I hope that April 15th is not the only time that you pray. We are always to be in an attitude of prayer. Any moment of the day. I try to make it a practice, and I'm sure sometimes I fail. But somebody will say, "Will you pray for this or that?" And I try to say, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. You know why I say that? It's up there, but sometimes it don't come out. It's up there, and sometimes I can't recall it. We always ought to be in an attitude of prayer. So in 2017, let's have a revolution in our prayer life, that we understand and we realize that at any moment we can call out to the Lord God and pray and ask Him for help, ask Him to move an obstacle, ask Him to maybe extend the life of a loved one, whatever it means. Prayer is vitally important to the spiritual life of every Christian. Therefore, we should always be in a place of prayer, for when we are, the Lord will hear us and will answer according to His divine will. Number three, look at verse number 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. For everything, give thanks. In everything. God is calling us to be genuinely thankful from our hearts for his blessings in our life. God has done so much for us that we could never, ever repay him. The least we can do is to bow our heads before him and be thankful for his gracious gifts. After all, it is his will for you and I to do that. An attitude of gratitude. An attitude of being thankful to the Lord. In 1988, Oral Hershiser pitched Game 5 of the World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Oakland A's. He pitched the entire game. He was the most valuable player of the 1988 World Series. That was the winning game of that particular World Series. He was later interviewed by Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. Johnny asked him, "Oral, what was going through your head in the bottom of the ninth inning and you had one batter left? What was going through your head?" Oral began to sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Johnny Carson was speechless. Being thankful. Being grateful. Have you ever thanked the Lord for something in advance? For something that you're asking him to do? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought about that? You've got something that is dear to your heart that you are praying about, that you want to see come to fruition in your life or possibly in the life of somebody that you love. Well, if you believe it by faith and you're praying in faith, how about thanking God in advance for what he is going to do? Now, that in no way obligates God. That's not what I'm saying. But it says something about your prayer life. It says something about you, that you trust the Lord God so much that you're going to thank him in advance for what you're asking him to do. We are always to have that heart, that grateful heart, grateful for the things that the Lord does. You say, "Well, what about the bad things in my life?" You know what he says? What does it say? Be thankful, be grateful in all things. In all things. A year ago, I've already mentioned this, we lost a son, very tragically. Those were hard days. But you know what? We had something to rejoice in. Jeff is in heaven. Paul said for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is sweeter today. My wife and I look forward to heaven more than we ever have. More than we ever have. We are to be grateful in all things. In all things. Doesn't mean that we always understand everything that's going on, every detail, every aspect. But we are to be grateful. We are to be grateful. What is to be achieved by rebelling? What is to be achieved by throwing everything that we believe away? What good does that do? It does absolutely no good. So we accept what we do not understand, and we praise God for his goodness and his blessings in our life, because there's so much we just don't control. We have no control over it whatsoever. We can't control other people's choices or decisions. That is between them and the Lord. But we can rejoice in the good. We can rejoice in the blessings. We can rejoice in those things, those memories, those good times. It's good to look at old pictures, think about better days. Thankfulness is the opposite of complaining. Think about it. The most blessed people in the history of the world were the Jewish people when they came out of captivity and God was leading them to the promised land. And how did they respond to God's goodness, to God's greatness, to God's glory? They grumbled and they complained. How sad. How tragic. Let me make this statement. You might not be happy about your situation, but at least be thankful that there's a God in heaven who loves you and who cares for you no matter what you are going through. Number four, look at verse number 19, if you would please. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that there needs to be a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. To quench means to extinguish or to stifle. To extinguish or stifle. The reality is that many times the Holy Spirit moves in our heart to do something. Maybe it's to witness to somebody. Maybe it's to give somebody something. Maybe it's to testify before a group of people. God will give us opportunity to serve him, to live for him. Be careful that you do not quench. Be careful that you do not extinguish that flame for that job that the Holy Spirit is leading you and talking to you about. Be careful that you do not put that out. Because I'm telling you, if you do that enough times, you will render yourself useless for the purposes of Almighty God. Because if the Holy Spirit, if you will not listen to him, if you will not pay attention to what it is that he is saying, he will just simply pass by you the next time. He will find somebody who is willing, and you will miss the blessing. Do not miss the blessing that could be yours because you simply will not yield to the Spirit of God. Why don't you decide today, this first Sunday of 2017, that you are going to listen for that still small voice in your heart and in your life that will speak to you, and then you are going to act. You are going to move forward in faith. As we stand here this first Sunday of 2017, let us resolve that we will listen to the call of the Spirit, that we will respond to him, and when he speaks, that we will never be guilty of holding back on the Lord in our worship to our God. All these things are parts and attributes of worship. Number five, look at it here in verse number 20. Paul goes on to say, despise not prophesyings. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, do not despise the preaching of the Word of God. The average Christian today has the idea that the Word of God is a smorgasbord. That's an old term. It's a buffet, folks. It's just a longer word for buffet. What does that mean? I'll take this, and I'll take this, and I'll take a little of this, and I'll just let the rest go. But do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what the Bible declares? That every word is profitable. All doctrine. Do you understand that there is nothing in the Bible placed there by mistake? It all has value. We can't just simply ignore the things that we don't agree with, the things that we don't like. You know, I just want roast beef. I don't want any of them vegetables. That's a vegetable. I don't want that. No, it's all good for you. It all works. You need it. Despise not prophesyings, the word of God, the preaching of the word of God. And understand, if you've been under the sound of the preaching of the word of God, you are accountable for that. And so understand today, take it personally. It's yours. It's for you. Ingest it. It is the word of God. Despise not prophesyings. I don't like what it says about this group of people. You're not the author. Hello? I don't like what the Bible says is going to happen to the unsaved. You're not the author. You're not the one who sent your son, your only begotten son, to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. That's out of your hands. You just can't pick and choose whatever you want. It is all profitable. It is all given for the purpose of building you up, making you stronger, making you more mature as a Christian. I want to challenge you today to make some New Year's revolutions. Not resolutions, revolutions in your life. Let 2017 be the best year spiritually that you have ever had in your life. No matter what happens, if the economy goes south, praise God for what you have. If we have to eat beans, we'll eat beans. It just doesn't matter. Because there's a big feast waiting one of these days. Do not prophesy or despise the word of God. God will hold you accountable for it. You're not off the hook. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean you're off the hook. Do not despise the prophecies or the preaching of the word of God. As 2017 unfolds, we need to take a hard look at how we worship the Lord. If any of these areas that we discussed this morning are lacking in your life, then we need to make it right today. Maybe today you need a New Year's revolution in your life. Stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you would please, and nobody looking around. Heavenly Father, Lord, challenge us afresh and anew today. 2017 is a brand new gift to each and every one of us. Lord, we have so much to look forward to. Perhaps you'll return for us in 2017. Oh, Lord, we have so much hope, and we're grateful for it. Dear God, we ask that you would help us today. Radicalize our worship. Help us to do things according to your word, not according to how we feel, not according to what we think, but according to thus saith the Lord. Help us today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.